The investigation into Bill Bond.
Sure.
Address it. Address it however you want to address it.
Yeah. Thanks. Well, on the specific Bill Bond issue, it's an open investigation. You can ask Mike about it tomorrow if you want. But and remember, we have dozens of investigations on the individuals, on nonprofits, on businesses happening at any given time. So that I want to make clear of that. Second, I want to make clear that it's not. The allegation or investigation has nothing to do with finances that are coming to or from the city itself.
All right. So the mayor says, ask Mike Wood. So I will do what the mayor says and ask Mike Wood. Mike Wood is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. He joins us every Thursday at this time. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, so we have heard about the investigation into Bill Bond and finances and some of the allegations surrounding this. As the mayor said, it is an investigation. There are many investigations. Is there anything you can tell us at this point?
Yeah, he's right. We have many, and there is one into Bill Bond at this point about financial issues, and whether that's substantiated or not, we'll find that out at the end of the investigation.
Okay. Is there a time frame on something like that? I mean, I don't even know if it's a month, a year, or, you know.
No, because especially when you get into finances, that could take a while. It depends on how deep it goes and how far back it goes. So there's no specific timeline.
Okay. Very, very good. Just that's what I was kind of curious about. Big news today. I know it's a holiday. I know it's Juneteenth. And then, you know, John had noticed, you know, it's a holiday, Andrew. I'm like, oh, yeah. Federal workers, state workers, everybody but, you know, radio hosts and firefighters and cops and, you know, nurses have off.
Right.
But there's a parade today. It's a combo parade. It's Martin Luther King Jr. Day, you know, rescheduled parade and also Juneteenth, right?
Yeah, so that's what's really important to know right now are road closures, which are happening as we speak around the parade route. It's going to be the normal route and the normal road closures, the new version, which does include a main street eventually. We will close Main Street between 9 and 10. The parade is set to go at 10 o'clock from 10 to 12. But what's important to know is that the courthouse is still open, and we will allow people down Main Street and up Balin Street to get to the courthouse today.
Okay, so if they need to get to the courthouse, you obviously are accommodating that because it is open, which is interesting. I wouldn't have thought it was open today on a holiday, but okay, you say it is. And this is the same thing we've gone through with Mardi Gras, which is, you know, cars need to be out, road closures expect, don't get through on Main Street, all of that, because it's the normal parade route for this one, right?
Yes. So we'll be towing vehicles for safety reasons if they are left on the parade route. Officers are down there doing that as we speak, making sure the parade route is clear.
Yeah, because I think if I remember correctly, the window was 3 hours, and we're into the 3-hour window already, right?
Yes. Yes. So the closures, everything will be fully closed by 9 o'clock, but the closures on the outer perimeters are happening now.
Very good. All right. I wanted to follow up with you. Well, actually, we had one story that I thought was kind of just weird, you know, but it's cop stuff. You had a very unusual incident started at the Circle K, the new one over at A.N. Garden. Is that right?
Yeah, that was overnight Tuesday, where a male became belligerent and ripped off all of the gas pump hoses. Then he got inside of a car and fled the scene. Officers located that vehicle and tried to stop it at Pace and Garden. The vehicle showed signs of impairment and attempted to flee. The vehicle crashed at Pace and LaRue, where officers attempted to block that vehicle in. The vehicle was then able to flee once again and continued on Pace Boulevard. And because of the impaired driving pattern and the speed, the pursuit was authorized in this specific incident. And shortly after that, it was again terminated. So that goes to show, once we authorize a pursuit, we can always terminate that. Everything is fluid in situations like that. But the vehicle then slowed because of the damage that it sustained from the crash, and officers were able to keep the car in sight. It eventually stopped. The occupants bailed out and ran, and the driver and passenger were located and charged accordingly without further incident.
Wow. Okay. So, and I think it's interesting that you initiated the chase, and it sounds like it maybe had done a pit maneuver at one point. You didn't say that, but it seemed like that's kind of what you were saying. And then it just kind of didn't take, and they kept on going, but called off, you know, which is an interesting choice because, you know, of course, a fleeing vehicle carries a risk. We talk about this all the time. But you guys have the same policy as the sheriff's office now that a forced felony or a stolen car is something that you'll actively chase, that you'll pit them if you can?
Yes. Well, first of all, we did not do a pit. We tried to box the vehicle in. That's two different things. Once it stopped, we try to surround it to where it has nowhere to go.
Okay.
But to answer your question, yes, if it's a forcible felony, something very serious like that, then we will pursue that vehicle and do what we need to do to get it stopped.
On this Juneteenth, where we have a parade coming up in just a couple of hours, so be aware of that, especially for the road closures around it. Mike, you recently, there was a story, wasn't that a couple days ago, I think it was, one of your other officers was talking on Channel 3 about the program to get people to register their cameras, not because you would have access to the camera yourself, but because if you need to get evidence on a scene, you know who's got cameras and you can go ask them for permission. Is that right?
Yes, and that's very important for people to know once they register, and we would love for them to do that. We do not have access to those cameras. We cannot pull them up whenever we feel like it. That's not how it works. It just lets us know that cameras were in a specific area. If there's a crime in that area, we can look on that list and we can say, yes, we do have these cameras. This person let us know that they have cameras, and we will contact them and ask them if we can see the video. That's not something that we will demand. It's not something that we force. We will just ask them. So we just want to be aware of where all of our cameras are in case a crime happens, and then we will contact people at that point.
Well, but Mike, I watch TV, and I know that on TV, you know, some kid who drinks a lot of Mountain Dew works for the police department, and it takes him about 18 seconds to hack into everybody's camera simultaneously on a big screen in front of him, and he can watch all of these very easily. You're telling me that's not how it works?
Well, yeah, that's why we do this show every Thursday, is to dispel some of those myths. That is not true. It's not even anywhere close to being true. So, that could be one of those mythbusters we do one time.
I know. It's amazing, the suspension of disbelief and then what it makes people think about. This is a case where a fake belief that people have based on, you know, what happens on TV then can become, I assume, an impediment where you have to teach people, no, we don't have access to your cameras and we're just looking for cooperation to facilitate investigations. But you've got to actually overcome the hurdle of bias based on an error in order to get something fairly simple done. So on behalf of all the media who get these things wrong, I apologize. You had an accident or a crash on Scenic. It wound up in a fatality, but the person was actually ejected from the car. Is that right?
Yeah, he was partially ejected. It looks like the vehicle was traveling at a high rate of speed on Scenic and just did not negotiate the curb near Manalay. Another tragic incident and without seatbelt usage. So we've said this 100 times. We just please use those seatbelts, even if you never know. Nobody expects to be in a car crash, but please put it on and expect that you will be in one, because you never know. Somebody could pull out in front of you. There's a mechanical issue. There's lots of things that could happen to cause a crash. And just be ready with that seatbelt on. It's all we ask.
Yeah, I mean, you're driving along, and especially if you're speeding, which you shouldn't be, but let's say you are because, you know, you live in Florida. You're speeding along, you blow a tire, you go off the road, you hit a tree. Things happen. Weird, terrible, horrible things happen. And so I'm totally with you. Seatbelts matter. You had made an announcement just because, going back to last weekend's No Kings protest against President Trump, and also the Thursday protest that happened, I think, after you and I got off the show, if I'm not mistaken. Thursday. Anyway, these were all no incident, no arrest, no confrontation, no problems. Even the one case where people thought there was a problem of a truck jumping a curb was an accident, right?
Yeah, I mean, this was classic Pensacola. It went very well that day on both ends, on 9th Avenue and at 17th Avenue. The 9th Avenue was cut a little short due to the weather and some lightning up there, and there was an incident where a vehicle jumped a curb, but there was nobody in the direct line of that vehicle with the video that we have. Now, if anybody else has video contrary to that, we would certainly like to see that, but the individual was very cooperative with us. He was trying to make a left turn, and eating a hamburger at the same time, and just he lost control of the vehicle. It went up on the curb to a sidewalk. He immediately corrected, got it back on the roadway. But again, if anybody else has any video that besides the video that we already have that shows that there was nobody in that direct path, we would certainly like to see that.
Very good. So eating a hamburger will sometimes cause you to drive poorly. Is that what I hear you saying? Because I know it's true.
Yeah, it's not a very good idea to eat and drive, but especially when you're trying to make a turn, that can be a problem, and it was that day.
Every driver thinks they're Superman. Everybody thinks, I'm a flawless driver, I can do all these things, and nothing bad will ever happen. And then when the bad thing happens, you know, and like in a case like this, you're lucky. But sometimes we're not so lucky. I always like to end with a cop myth. I guess we kind of have done it. So let's stick on the theme a little bit just because we're kind of already in this vicinity. Technology in TV and movies. It looks like you have millions and every police department has millions and millions and millions of dollars of the most cutting edge technology. You have a fleet of teenage super hackers who can hack into everything. You can surveil. You get information back from the crime lab immediately. Fingerprints, blood analysis, everything. And this is all exactly how it works in real life, right?
No.
Any slice of that you want to educate people on?
So all of that is not right, except for the technology part. Let's talk about that for a minute.
Yeah.
That is beginning to happen in certain ways with
the real-time crime center, right?
Technologies that we have. Yeah, the real-time crime center is just – and I've been in this business 38 years, and that's probably one of the biggest, most successful programs that I've ever seen. And it's just going to continue to get better. And we want to be able to see things as it's happening. And when things do happen, to be able to zoom in on that location with various ways of, you know, whether it's video, photos, sound, you know, to try to get information on the person that was responsible in the vehicle that they were in. So that is coming to fruition very quickly.
And one other slicer, and I only bring it up because it's, again, it's all the 15 billion lies that get told about your occupation on TV. The idea that your investigators just sort of work around the rules, do the opposite of what the captain says, go and break in and surveil and violate the Constitution as a routine matter, and then are forgiven because it all works out at the end of the show. That also is not what happens, right?
Yeah, if they acted like that, then we might as well not investigate it, because as soon as it gets to court, everything's going to get thrown out
right.
On technicality. So you have to go by the law. That's kind of what we do. And we don't go against what the supervisors say and what the law says and the state attorney and all that. That just doesn't happen. And that's why a lot of times these investigations take much longer than the public would like. It takes much longer than we would like, because we have rules we got to go by in order to make sure that the prosecution is successful.
Yeah, your job is to make the case. And there's no point in making the arrest if you can't make the case. So, you know, making the case requires...
Isn't that funny how that works?
Right, it requires following the rules. And I always think it's amazing how much vigilantism is promoted in our culture across the board in all domains, especially when it comes to police work. I'm like, it's just not like that in real life. But I appreciate it. Mike Wood, he is a public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, as always, thank you for the time, answering my questions, teaching us about the law, and keeping us safe. I appreciate it, sir.
Thank you.